We're teaching on the subject, where are you? Where are you? This is our second lesson, and the theme of this series is proper alignment or proper placement. Now, last week we talked about divine alignment and destiny. So we got three or four people that were not here. So I'm going to do a little review, and then we're going to pick up in the second lesson. So last week we were talking about, in lesson one, we were talking about divine alignment and divine destiny. The word alignment means to arrange so that things or people are in proper position. Alignment, we said last week, is being in step with God's will and being in unity with God's spirit. Divine alignment encompasses several things. It encompasses God's assignment, doing what God wants you to do, God's attitude, thinking, acting, and reacting the way God wants you to. It encompasses geography. It's being where God wants you to be. It encompasses God connections, being with the people that God wants you to be with. And then finally, it has to do with God's seasons, doing things when God wants you to do them. I gave a concluding statement that I want to give here. Remember, this is a review. I said that when we're in alignment, now we're talking about in your personal life, business life, ministry life, church life, when you're in alignment, God will bring people, line up events and circumstances, release resources in our life at exactly the right time to help us fulfill our destiny. When we're in the right places, doing the right things, connected to the right people, then God will bring people into your life. He will line up events and circumstances. Watch this. And he will release resources to assure you and to help you to fulfill your destiny. It's very important. We talk a lot about prosperity, and I believe that God wants us to prosper. I believe that with all my heart. And we talk about tithing. We've talked about that. That comes under the law of giving and receiving. But you know, you can do all those things. You can say the right words. You can be a giver and yet not fully prosper and fulfill your destiny if you're not in alignment. Say alignment. Amen. Now listen at this. Today we're going to talk about the wrong place. We're going to talk about being out of alignment. We're going to talk about the wrong place. We're going to talk about being out of alignment. Now, we talked about a wheel, the wheel of an automobile. We talked about a car being out of alignment. We said that when a car is out of alignment, it makes the tires wear out faster. It causes gas mileage to go down. It affects the driver's control and handling. It actually creates unsafe driving conditions. That's why when you buy a new set of tires, they talk to you about alignment. Over a period of driving that car, some say every 10,000 miles, it's very important that you get in your car in alignment. If your car is not in alignment, it begins to shake. And there are times that it'll pull to a side. The tires will wear out. So when you hit your brakes, you may not be able to stop the way you should stop. Now, if you transfer that to life, sometimes our lives are not in alignment, okay? And we're doing all these other things, but the shaking sometimes in our life and the lack of control in our life is sometimes related to the fact that we're not in alignment. This is an area that is not often talked about. So we're going to talk about it today. And we're going to talk about being in the wrong place. Say the wrong place. Say the wrong place. In a moment, we're going to put up on the screen Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to share from other people and situations that were out of alignment, and then we're going to talk about the consequences of being out of alignment. Now, how many ever heard of Jonah being swallowed up by a fish? How many of you heard that story? Well, God instructed the prophet, and we'll see it in just a moment. God instructed the prophet to go to a certain place. In other words, he told him to go to Nineveh. And instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. He went 35 miles down to Joppa, got on a boat, and headed toward Tarshish. Now, watch this. Nineveh was about 500 miles east. Tarshish was 2,000 miles west. It would be like God telling you to go to the East Coast. You say, I'm not going to the East Coast. And you go all the way across the country to California. That's exactly what he did. God instructed Jonah to go preach to the Assyrian nation, to Nineveh, which was the capital of Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. One of the reasons that he did not want to go, just to give you some background, one of the reasons he did not want to go is because the Assyrians were prime enemies of Israel. It was an idolatrous nation. But if you do your study, Assyria was known from being a cruel nation. It was a very violent, cruel nation. It was like ISIS on steroids. There are writings, the historical writings, about how they treated captives. There are writings. One king boasts about the fact that they had slaughtered a group of people and dyed the mountain with their blood. They boast about the fact that they would take people, they go into the country and capture the country, and they will literally cut off their heads and pile up their heads in pillars. That's cruel. Cruel. Cut off their limbs. They would flay their skin and lay their skins across the walls. It was a cruel, 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 cruel nation. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible nation. One king boasted the fact that he took a dagger and bore a hole through the jaw of an enemy leader that they had captured. And then he pulled a dog chain through his jaw and tied him to a kennel, a dog shelter. And that's where that guy lived. It was a vicious nation. ISIS on steroids. So here God tells this prophet, I want you to go and preach to that nation. Jonah didn't want to go preach to the nation. Jonah wanted them to go to hell. I mean, in other words, he wanted them to get destroyed. Now, I'm gonna fast forward, and then we're going to look at it in a moment because we're going to draw some things. Finally, Jonah did go after the fish spit him out, preach, and the whole nation repented. Everybody fasted, the animals fasted, everybody fasted, the king fasted, and the whole nation repented. And Jonah got upset. He was just got flat out mad that God would save a nation like that. Okay, so Jonah is about the will of God, but it's also about the mercy of God. It's about the compassion of God. Jonah was an isolationist. He was an isolationist, like many Christians, isolationists. Jonah didn't understand that he was blessed to be a blessing. Many Christians come to church, and they come to church every week, and it's all about them. It's all about them when God is concerned about the people that are in the world. Because one, there was a time when we were in the world. There was a time when we were doing a lot of crazy stuff. But we can't afford to become isolationists, okay? He was very selfish. We can't have that in the church. We got to have people who are reaching out. That's how we're going to reach all of this area. Amen. Okay, let's look at the story. We're talking about being in the wrong place. Let's look at the text. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from," listen at this, "from where? The presence of the Lord, and he went down." Now, I emphasize those texts to communicate something. He went from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he did what? Went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. Where? From the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like unto be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was what? Gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay there and was fast asleep. Before we look at the next verse, let's go back to verse 5. The Bible says they began to lighten the ship. In other words, they start throwing things off the ship because the ship had hit this storm. You know, sometimes we're trying to do different things. You know, we're trying to do, we're in a storm, but we're trying to lighten the ship. But sometimes it's not lightening the ship. Sometimes it's getting in the right place. Sometimes we can be in the wrong place. And all the little things, the little adjustments that we make won't change the storm when we're in the wrong place. Let's look at the next text. It says, "So the shipmaster came to him." Now, he's fast asleep. Sometimes you can be in the wrong place and have a false sense of security. He had a false sense of security. He's fast asleep in the wrong place. Come on, say he's in the wrong place. "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Lots were cast in those days to give direction and guidance. And they had this thought and this belief that sometimes the sins of one person could affect the others. So they wanted to know, well, who had offended their God to cause this condition? Next verse. "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is your country? Who are your people?" And he said unto them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord." Yeah, you fear him, all right. You're going 2,000 miles away from his prison. "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled where? When you know, the beautiful thing about being in the kingdom, that once we get saved, God never leaves us. Okay. But you can still get out of position. Does that make sense to you? You still can get out of position because he had told them. And look at the next verse. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now, what you notice here, they asked Jonah, they said, "Well, who are you? Where did you come from? What is your occupation? Who is your God?" Because they all believed that everyone had a different God. He said, "Well, I'm a Hebrew, and my God is the God of the land and the sea." They had gods of the sea, gods of the land, gods of this, gods of that. Jonah said, "My God is over everything." And then they became afraid of the fact that this guy had offended his God. They asked Jonah a question. They said, "Well, what do you think we need to do?" Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." That's serious. I never would have said, "Throw me overboard." I would have said, "Let's pray." I would have said, "Y'all, let's pray. I mean, you know, let's pray." I would have said, "Throw me overboard." The dude said, "Throw me overboard." And you know, these are pagan heathen people. They tried their best to turn that ship back to land, but the storm grew worse. Finally, they said to God, they said, listen, God, don't let us perish because of this dude. But then they asked God to do something. Don't hold it against us what we're getting ready to do. They throw that dude in that water. And the Bible said when they threw Jonah in the water, the storm ceased. And there was a great calm. But God had prepared a fish. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Come on, say wrong place. It's the wrong place to be in a fish belly. Isn't that a miracle that this guy could live for 3 days and three nights in a fish belly? Now, there's some compassion in that, precious people. There's some compassion that even though he was out of the way, God had prepared a fish not for his destruction. That God is even working on our behalf even when we're in the wrong place. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. And he took care of him for 3 days and three nights. And the Bible says in that the belly of the whale, Jonah repented. And that fish spit him up on dry land. That boy took off. That dude took off toward. And he preached. I mean, he preached and that whole city turned around. Say the wrong place. We're talking about alignment. So let's talk about what is the wrong place. Okay. Usually when I give definitions, they're kind of broad. Okay. I could give one definition, but like when we were talking about alignment is broad. It's not just where you are. Alignment has to do with what's going on in the inside of you. It has to do with your attitude. It has to do with who you're connected to. So in the same way, when we talk about being in the wrong place can be broad. Let me give you some examples of the wrong place. The wrong place can be spiritual. It can be where you are spiritually, a place where you're not growing spiritually. If you're in a place where you're not growing spiritually, you're in the wrong place. I've said this more and more several times here, that we didn't come to take people from their churches. If people are in their set place, that's not our goal, to try to get people to leave their church. I believe that there's enough people in Columbus for all the churches to be filled up and still not have enough room for all the people. You agree with that? But some people are in positions where they're not hearing the word. There are some people where they're not being taught the word. That's the wrong place, because the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need God's word to grow. You need God's word to prosper. So the wrong place can be spiritually. The wrong place can be an environment. It can be an environment, a negative environment where your Christian walk will be compromised. Sometimes it's the environment. Sometimes it's not what we're doing. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. Sometimes we put ourselves in environments where our walk can be compromised. Where our walk can be compromised. Think about all the people who are in prison today who are just in the wrong place. Think about the young guy who is in a car. And he got buddies, get out of that car, go in a gas station, or go in a store and rob that store. And they get caught, and all of them go to prison. Where a guy can be in the car not even knowing what they were getting ready to do, was just in the wrong environment. Said the wrong environment. So we have to be very careful about the environment that we're in. I remember my freshman year of college, I was at Tuskegee, and you know, I didn't do any drugs, but I was in a lot of places. I was in parties. You know, I played basketball, so I'm hanging out. I'm hanging out with the fellas. You know what I mean? I was at a party, and they were passing the joint. They're passing the joint around. They gave the joint to me, and I took it, and I passed it to the other person. I loved the party, enjoyed the party, and I passed it to the other person. I had something on the inside of me. My mama had put that thing in me. Boy, don't you go to jail. So I had that thing on the inside of me. But think about it. Just think about it. I wasn't doing any drugs, but there were a lot of times I was in the wrong place. Had no desire to do anything, but I was in what? It was the environment. So we have to protect ourselves. And we got young people here. You have to be very careful. You have to protect yourself. It's not just what you're doing. It's environment. Come on, say environment. Sometimes we can be in what? The wrong environment. The wrong environment. Sometimes the wrong place is a relationship. Sometimes it's a relationship. A relationship that puts pressure on you to sin. Or a relationship that puts pressure on you and it dampens you spiritually. Sometimes you can be with the person and it's just something, I mean, you just like him. You know what I mean? You just like him. You know, but every time you get around him, you have these feelings. You know what I mean? You ain't trying to have these feelings, but he just kind of push your button. You know what I mean? She just push your button. You love Jesus. I mean, you love Jesus. But it's something about it, you know. Every time you leave, you're repenting. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Okay? So sometimes it's just relationships can be the wrong place. Sometimes it's our frame of mind. Sometimes our wrong place can be just our frame of mind, whereby you just don't want to do what God wants you to do. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to see. Now, you my group, because y'all normally tell the truth. You really do tell the truth. And if y'all want me to go first, I'll go first. But let me ask you a question. How many of you knew what the Bible said? I mean, I ain't through yet. You knew what the Bible said. You knew that what the Bible said. You ain't need nobody to quote no scripture to you. You knew what the Bible said. You ain't want to do it. You see your hand? What? I can't believe it. Let me see your hands again. Look at all these. Boy, I thought y'all were saved. I thought y'all were saved. Oh, not overnight? Not overnight. Yeah, isn't that real Christianity? That he saves us on the inside and we're brand new on the inside and we love Jesus, our inward man want to do right. But we still got this same old body. We still got the same old flesh. And there are times, even though we know what the Bible says, even though we know what the word says, there are times when we just don't want to. And guess what? Let me share something with you. I've learned this about the Lord. The Lord can handle that. He can handle you being honest. Hey, I don't want to. That's what Jonah did. You know what Jonah did? Jonah resigned. Listen, he turned in his ordination papers. He resigned from the prophet's ministry. You don't get on a ship and head 2,000 miles away. He ain't planning on preaching in Tarshish. He is turning his papers. In other words, he said, I don't want to. Okay? Here's what I believe about God. You may debate this. Here's what I believe. I think a God sometimes look beyond our attitudes. And I think God sees our hearts. And I think God, deep down inside, know that we love him, know that we want to do something, but we just have competing desires. We got some competing desires. And I'm so glad God will help you. God will help you when you don't want to. If you'll tell him. Okay? God will help you. If you say, God, listen, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to. Okay? Add a little something. Just help me. Okay, just add that. If you'll add, help me, the scripture says he'll work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But in churches, a lot of times Christians, we play games with God. We say, you know, I love you. You know, I love you, Jesus. I'll do anything. We get in the church and we say, I surrender. And we be lying. We just be lying all the way through that song. We know deep down inside we ain't surrender. We should be saying, I surrender part of me. That's what we really should be saying. We should be talking about we surrender all. We really know we ain't surrendering all. And say, God, no, we're not surrendering all. Here's what I learned. My wife is sitting right here, so I try to be very transparent. I told the Lord, I just want to do this. I want to. I ain't talking about wanting to read the Bible. I ain't talking about wanting to pray. You got me, didn't you? I want to do this. And God can help you when you don't play games with him. Give me more grace, God. Because I want to mess up right now. I want to mess up. Give me more grace. I had the Spirit of God tell me one time. I said, God, I'm struggling so right now. I'm struggling so right now. He said, ask me for more grace. He said, that's what he said. He didn't say, well, you old ugly thing. You old ugly. No, no. He said, ask me for more grace. I didn't even know you could ask for grace. I didn't know that was in the Bible. And I said, God, give me more grace. I don't know where it came from, but God gave me the strength to do what I needed to do. So sometimes the wrong place is our frame of mind. Our mind is off. Does that make sense to anybody? Am I talking to anybody? The wrong place is anywhere other than where God wants you to be. Anywhere other than what God wants you to be is what place? It's the wrong place. I want to give you some examples, and then we're going to talk about some consequences of being in the wrong place. And then I want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Abraham ended up in the wrong place. Over in Genesis chapter 12, God told him to go to the land that he had promised him. That was Canaan. He got to Canaan, it was a famine. When he got to the famine, he decided that he was going to go to Egypt. Got down there to Egypt and put his own wife in a compromising position. Wow. That girl was fine. Sarah was fine. And Abraham knew she was fine, too. He said, so when we go in this city, you tell them you're my sister. Okay? Pharaoh saw that girl. So I want that girl. He had pulled that girl and put him in his harem and was going to marry her. And then God fixed that thing. But he got pushed into the wrong place through adversity. Sometimes we have adversity in our lives, a famine, and he got pushed into the wrong place. Sometimes it's pressure. Sometimes it's fear that pushes us in the wrong place. Lot ended up in the wrong place. The land was too small to where Abraham and Lot could dwell together. This is Genesis chapter 13. And Abraham said, well, you choose which direction you go. I'll go in a different direction. And Lot looked down in the valley of the Jordan. It was well watered like the Garden of Eden. And he chose down there in the Jordan Plain. The Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And it says that the men of Sodom was wicked. Wrong place, long price. He ended in Sodom and lost his wife. Ended in Sodom and his two daughters backslid. He was in what? He was in the wrong place. Sometimes opportunities are not blessings. Just because it's an opportunity doesn't mean you should say yes to it. It was an opportunity, but it was not a blessing. It ended up putting him in the wrong place. And then I want you to look at this one. Look at 2 Samuel. David ended up in the wrong place. You remember the story of David? How he ended up in the wrong place? He ended up in the wrong place because the Bible says at the time when kings should go to battle, he stayed at home in Jerusalem. It's the wrong place. Yeah, he was in the wrong place. And then he went up on top of the rooftop, started watching Playboy, the Playboy Channel. Remember that? Remember that story? He was watching the Playboy Channel and saw that girl down there naked and said, I want that. But she was married. Remember that story? And he ended up calling that girl up and they had sexual relations and she got pregnant. Said wrong place. Come on, said wrong place. I was studying this. David was in the wrong place and he ended up committing adultery and murder. He murdered the girl, had the girl's husband killed. Bathsheba was in the wrong place. She ended up in a relationship, an adulterous relationship, and she ended up marrying a guy, David, who had several wives. So now she got to share her husband, said the wrong place. I stopped there for just a moment, though. I stopped there for a moment, and I began to think about men. Sometimes men end up in the wrong place. How did David get in that position? How did he get in that position? The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. How did he get in that position? Just from a man's standpoint. And I thought about men. We have a need to achieve. We have a need to what? We have a need to achieve. And sometimes that need to achieve causes an imbalance in our lives. Sometimes we work too much. We work too much. Then we get tired. And when we get tired, our guards go down. So here's, you got a man after God's own heart, but he was out of balance. And I wanted to say to all my guys here and all my men here, especially those of you that are married, if you're a man, you have to keep balance in your life. Can't just work all the time. You can't just work all the time. You have to keep balance in your life. Life is not just about work. It's about family. It's about caring for your family, about loving your family. It's about loving your kids, loving your wife, spending time with your wife. David got over into an imbalance, fatigue, and his guards dropped down. But then I thought about that girl. Here's a married woman. How in the married people here, we got some married people. Let me see my married folk here. Well, you know, how did she get in that situation? How did she get in the wrong place? I mean, think about it. How did she get in the wrong place? Was she just lustful? Was she just a bad girl? I don't think so. You know, women have a need for attention and a need for affection. Don't they? Right? Sometimes they don't get that need met at home. And when they don't get that need met at home, they become vulnerable. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said to a person, you're vulnerable right now. So you have to watch yourself, because you're very vulnerable. at this point. Look at this text. Look at this text. Look at this text. 1 Corinthians. If we go up there, if we go up to the verse 1, it says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Nevertheless, it says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every wife have her own husband. Then in verse 3, it says, let the husband render to the wife what? And likewise the wife unto who? Look at verse 4. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband likewise also. The husband has not power of his own body, but the what?
Wife.
Look at the next verse. Defraud ye not. What does defraud mean? Boy, you know, whenever you talk about this subject, in church, everybody get real quiet. I'm talking about sex. I'm talking about sex and marriage. I'm talking about sex and marriage. I ain't gonna stay here long. But sometimes God leads me to do this. Okay, I'm talking about sex and marriage. I'm talking about Bathsheba. Maybe she wasn't a whore. Maybe she wasn't a bad girl. And maybe Uriah wasn't a saint. Maybe he wasn't taking care of business at home. Huh? He on the battlefield too much. Nobody's touching that girl. Nobody's loving on her. Nobody's telling her she's pretty. He out there working, trying to make a living. But the scripture says, don't defraud, don't rob one another, except to be with consent for a time that you give yourself to fasting and prayer. Uriah wasn't fasting and praying. Come together again, that Satan what? I'm talking about being in the wrong place, precious people. I'm talking about being in the wrong place. And sometimes we're not taking care of business at home. I've been doing this for 30-some years, and I've counseled men who've committed adultery. Husbands who've committed adultery, and I've counseled wives who've committed adultery. And I know beyond a shadow, these are people who love God, but they were not handling their business at home. They were not taking care of their home life. They were out of alignment, and the devil saw an opening. He came in there and tore it up. Now, you single people, how many of y'all want to get married? You plan on getting married? Okay, when you get married, you got to handle your business.
Amen.
Yeah, do I need to be clear on that? Come on, tell me you got it. Because if you don't tell me you got it now, I'm gonna get graphic on you, okay? Y'all good? Okay. So I can go on? Okay, all right. I wanna shoot through consequences of being in the wrong place. And then I wanna hear what you got to say about it. Consequences of being in the wrong place. When we're in the wrong place, watch this, we create problems for ourselves and we face temptations and challenges that God never intended for us to deal with. When we're in the wrong place, we create challenges for ourselves and we open ourselves up to temptations God never intended for us to deal with. When they're in the wrong place, secondly, we lead others into the wrong place and we cause hardships for them that they should not have to deal with. Lot's wife and girls should never had to deal with that stuff going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was in the wrong place and his wife and his daughters got exposed to some stuff that they never should have gotten exposed to. David was in the wrong place and he hurt Bathsheba. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Jonah was in the wrong place and all the men on that ship about to go down, because of his decision making. When we're in the wrong place, we lose the protection that obedience and submission and accountability provide for us. There's a protection in obedience. There's a protection in submission. There's a protection in accountability. When we're in the wrong place, we end up frustrated because our best efforts don't bring success and fulfillment. No matter what you do, if you're in the wrong place, and remember, I'm not talking just geography. If you're in the wrong place, your best efforts will not bring fruition and will not bring fulfillment. When the wrong place, we lack grace to be successful. We can't operate at a high level spiritually. When we're in the wrong place, we lose our testimony. We lose our testimony and our influence with people. When we're in the wrong place, we receive no further instructions from God. And then we have to fabricate our own instructions. You notice that when Jonah ended up in the wrong place, God gave him a word, rise, go to Nineveh. You notice after that, God didn't say anything to him? God now had to work through circumstances. And God had to work through a heathen man, the captain of the ship, to get him in the right place. We lose the voice of God when we're in the wrong place. Not that God stops speaking, but we become dull in our hearing. When you're in the wrong place, it's hard to hear from God. When we're in the wrong place, we miss out on divine connections that God intended to impact our lives. When we're in the wrong place, we end up in a false security, deception, and delusion. And we miss out on the things that God wants us to experience. When we're in the wrong place, we begin the process of going down. Several places it says Jonah went down, he went down, he went down. Say wrong place. I'll say this and I'll close here, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Jonah's best efforts and highest hopes would not have produced success or fulfillment and purpose for him in Tarshish. Tarshish was the wrong place. God told him to rise, go to Nineveh. We cannot change God's purpose, his assignment, his placement on our life and be happy and successful and fulfilled. Alignment is so very important. It's so very important. That should be one of your chief prayers. Alignment should be one of your chief prayers. I want to be doing what God wants me to do. I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to be connected to who God wants me to connect it to. And I want to have the mindset that God wants me to have. Alignment is something that you should be praying about. And there's no destination when it comes to alignment. The same way you have to align your wheels and your tires, that's the same way you have to make sure that your life is in alignment, because you're going to be in alignment today and out of alignment tomorrow, next week. Does that make sense to you? Did you get some out of that?